Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner, Dave Pezzo. Money Matters is brought to you by Pezzo Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Pezzo on KITO Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. Every week I go in and visit with Kevin Miller and have an absolute blast. We're going to go ahead and replay that. It's about 30 minutes every Monday. We'd like to hear your feedback. If you enjoy it, if not, let us know. And I'll be talking to you live in about 30 minutes.
Blessed to be part of your day. Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for listening to 107.5 FM, 580 AM. He's rested and raring to go, which is more than I can say for me. Our great friend Dave Pezzo is joining us from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, on Facebook, Twitter, downtown at the Pezzo Center. Good morning, sir.
Good to be here, Kevin, as always.
So your beloved stocks took a little beating last week.
Yeah, oh, not a beating. That's a bit strong. Boy, that's
down,
a little hyperbole.
Down.
They went down a little. They slipped a little last week, yes.
2%?
My beloved.
2% of?
2%? What fell 2%?
The whole market thingy.
No, the market thingy.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, well, the S&P was down 1%, so there you have it.
Well, 1%. Add another, and it's two, so we're close.
We are very close. We're just a tiny bit off, yes.
Right.
But well, it was down to some trade fears. There's they're amping up the rhetoric right now.
Now, wait a minute. You said this trade stuff is good.
I do think it's good. I actually do think it's good. I think it's very good in the long run. I think it's necessary. And we look what's going on with China. They've stolen our intellectual property. They just recently stole from Micron. Remember, they had two arrests over there for just literally stealing their technology so they could build DRAM fabs, chip fabs, on their own. And this is just the way they act. That's the way they do it. And Trump's tired of it. And I applaud the changes that are being made to say it's not okay. And it's not okay to put tariffs on our cars and we don't put tariffs on their cars. We're going to get a more level playing field out of this. And I think it's going to help global growth.
I totally. Can't. I don't know who this person is. I've been advocating this for years, and now you've come over to my team on
well,
this.
Well, you know what? In this case, and it's unusual, Kevin, but I want to be on your team. I don't usually want to be on your team, but this one I want to be on.
Well, I get that a lot. So Trump is talking tough.
Yep.
You've got some jitters in the market, but you think this is good.
I do think it's good. I think it's we have the upper hand all the way across the board. I mean, it's just we are the biggest trading partner for pretty much everybody, and our tariffs are lower than everybody else's. So the idea that we're going to level the playing field, I think it could also lower tariffs overall globally and make trade truly freer around the globe, which would be a huge boost to global economic activity. As you know, I am a free trader, Kevin, but free trade is not when you put tariffs on our goods and we don't put them on yours.
Yeah, but Donald Trump has been the only person in the administration, in any administration, to have enough guts to do this. Obama didn't do it. Bush didn't do it. It was basically acquiescing. It was appeasement. Yeah. And, hey, we want to sell stuff to the Chinese. Okay, we're going to put an additional 30% tariffs on the American goods going in. You've got to give up your intellectual propriety. And then now the Chinese goods can come in with no tariffs.
Exactly. You know, they have almost 10%, 9.9% average tariff on U.S. goods. Ours are 3.5. So it's not even close where it is sits right now. But, Kevin, you're right. I think you could argue on multiple fronts that Obama was the worst president of my lifetime. He literally didn't do anything. And you talk about appeasement in North Korea, in Syria. But along along the trades, the lines of China and Russia, he didn't get along with them or seemingly get along with them at all, and did not do anything. So I'm with you there. I think that Trump has come in and has really challenged the status quo globally. He's the status quo in Washington, D.C., we're all very familiar with the draining of the swamp. But when we take this global trade picture, I think we just have to be patient for a couple more months, and I think we're going to see some real progress on trade.
Dave Pezzo joining us here at KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. Here's a great headline. The sedan is dying, so it's time to buy one. The zombie car market is a huge economic challenge for automakers, but it could be a thrill for deal-seeking drivers. Now, you're a sedan guy.
Yeah, I am. I didn't know it was dying.
Oh, actually, Ford is doing away with most of them.
Well, they should. They don't have a good sedan.
Fair enough. But the sedan is going away because people want trucks, they want SUVs, they want these all-wheel drive cars. And you have, I don't think Toyota's doing that or Honda yet, but Ford is looking at that, GM as well. Could you ever imagine a world where there's no sedans? But Bloomberg here saying you're going to get great deals on them because they're phasing them out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm surprised. Especially with today's technology, you don't need a truck to go through the snow. One of the best cars I ever had, at least I should say 20 and 30 years ago, was a little Accord, because the thing could just horse it through the snow as well as trucks did. That's not true anymore, but it's very close. The technology, they can make all-wheel drive sedans and do. So I'm not sure why we don't like the body style. I think it's a great body style.
Well, no, people just want the SUV. They want to be higher up. And here, over the next few years, Ford will be navigating a similar fraught path. They were talking about what Chrysler did with the Avenger, which is when they got rid of it, they gave you 15% off sticker price, saving roughly $4,000. Earlier this year, the company was forced to put up a similar chunk of cash for 200 sedans. Over the next few years, Ford will be doing the same. It's preparing to jettison parts of its lineup that aren't considered an SUV or a crossover, including Taurus. Believe it or not, the production ends on the Ford Taurus March 2019, Fiesta May 2019, and the Fusion sedan sometime in 2021. Culturally,
yeah,
this is amazing.
Now, it is amazing when you think about it, too. And I said they didn't make very good ones, but the Taurus has been a top seller for years, hasn't it?
It has. In fact, it's funny because Ford kind of ruined the Taurus back in the day when it was number one.
Yeah.
Because they flooded the market with rentals and everything else, and they wanted to put all, and they didn't put any design or anything into it, so they went into the more lucrative, I think minivans at the time were the catch-all. You ever want to read a good book on the auto industry? It's called The End of Detroit, and for you, Dave Pezzo, I'll try and find the audio version for you.
Well, thank you, sir.
It really is fascinating, talking about the rise of the Japanese car manufacturers and the fall of our own. But here you go. You've got Jack Kane, an 89-year-old Ford dealer near Lexington, Kentucky, is expecting the manufacturer to roll out hefty incentives in the coming months. His team is already having trouble selling sedans. The word is out. It's incumbent upon them to do what's right. It's money that moves metal. We all know that. So you could be getting deals on some of these. And Ford has always been an innovator when it comes to technology.
Yeah. I am surprised. But it's, again, I'm not exactly the cutting edge guy. I like what I like, and I like the 80s, so I just kind of hang out in the 80s. And that was a decade of the sedan, right?
Exactly. Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah, you're right.
There you go.
That's right.
Big caddies and stuff. Here you go.
Do they still make a Lincoln? I know we have important things to talk about, but they do make a Lincoln.
They do. And actually, for a while there, Lincoln had a luxury truck, a pickup truck that my buddy bought. Here you have the average price of cars. Traditional sedans are priced at $5,000 below their SUV siblings, though they share the same engines, chassis, and other infrastructure. So you're looking at a large car, about $38,000. A large crossover, $43,900. So $44,000. A large pickup. What do you think a large pickup goes for these
days? Oh, my gosh. They've got to be $50,000,
$60,000. $51,600.
Wow.
Midsize car, $28,000. Midsize crossover, $35,000. Midsize pickup, $35,000. Compact car, $22,000. Compact crossover, $28,600. Let's go to pickup trucks for a minute. I mean, it's possible to spend $90,000 on a pickup.
Wow. Wow.
Could you ever see that, the Pezzo pickup?
No, I can't. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed my remodel won't cost that much.
Well, right. You can buy houses for these things.
Right, exactly. I know.
So as we look at the trade wars, let's bring it back. How healthy do you believe the car business is? Because the car business has been on fire for quite some time.
Yep.
Our friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, that you finally met in person, you've talked to him for years, did bring up a relevant point to you that they've had a lot of defaults in car loans lately.
Yeah, yep.
How do you see the car business? Because, you know, like housing, that's one of the backbones of our economy.
Well, it is, but it's dying. It's a dying business, too, Kevin. I even though they're putting in some new plants down south, it's the foreigners to sell cars here because of tax laws, tariffs, things like that. But the reality is that we're heading towards I shouldn't say it's dying. It's changing. It's evolving. And we're heading towards autonomous cars. We're heading towards people, especially in cities, that just don't even own a car. They Uber everywhere. They take public transportation. And, Kevin, it's an industry that's got some problems.
Well, and that comes from the largest age cohort in American history. We've talked about this before.
Yep.
KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. That's the millennials. They don't really believe in car ownership, at least some of them. That's not a smack. It's just a changing cultural behavior. But an autonomous car. Now, you've been to McCall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, many times?
Many times.
Hey, I can tell you I've been to McCall once, and I'm fine with not going to McCall.
Why? Why? Why?
I think it's a beautiful place. I wish they had a bookstore.
that sounds like an opportunity.
Right. Very good. Well, there's one capitalist amongst us here. That road to McCall, it's a dangerous road, right?
Yes.
Right. Call that the highway of death. Okay, would you take an autonomous vehicle to McCall?
Yeah.
Really?
When they are capable.
Sure. We can't get cell service sometimes on those roads. So how reliable is that going to be? You ever heard of buffering? Can you imagine going 90 miles an hour and all of a sudden your computer locks up?
Yeah. We're going to be there. We are not that far from the future, Kevin, where we'll walk on an airplane and the captain will stand there and greet people and he'll go in and take a nap because the computer already takes off and lands for him.
They already take naps, probably.
They probably do. They don't fly. They won't fly it, but we won't accept the idea that there's not a human there. So
another reason not to fly, like another reason not to go
to drive.
Right.
The death trap.
Exactly. But, we become so dependent on technology, and then we wonder why we are so dependent on technology.
Right. We are far too dependent. People can't do things. They actually have virtual meetings and virtual friends and virtual social life.
Right.
They don't have a real life.
But you know this Alexa, right? Are you familiar with this?
Alexa, yeah.
Yeah.
The little thing that spies on you in your house?
Right.
Yeah.
And
I don't have one.
Right. I don't have one either. My wife said to me, well, we need to get an Alexa. I go, I don't need Alexa to know what I'm doing.
That's right.
Because they do spy on you, and you know that they can watch you. I don't know if Alexa's watching you on your smart TV, but all that is an invasion. Like, these phones are great, but they have so much data and so much of our habits.
I know. It knows everything about me, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Yeah.
It could create another Dave Petzo.
Yeah, I mean, it probably has enough DNA in there to clone it.
Which is what happened on Westworld last night, not to spoil for everyone. Much, much more coming up with our friend Dave Petzo. You're listening to KIDO Talk Radio.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
KIDO Talk Radio, our great friend Dave Petzo with us, the Petzo Center, Saturdays 8 to 10, Money Matters, on Facebook and Twitter, talking about your money at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So when we take a look at the stock markets and everything else, what do you expect this week to bring us? More uncertainty, more downward trends.
Actually, I think we're going to open that way. Yes, Kevin, I do. I think that the escalation of the both sides, the rhetoric, is going to affect the market. There's no real big reason to buy stocks, and if there's not a big reason to buy, you know, we're in the middle of we're outside of earnings season, all those things. There's no real big push to buy. So everything that we get concerned about can push stocks down. And we always have concerns. Right now it's the trade concerns, and they're legitimate. But I think we have the upper hand, and I think we've discovered that I should say most people have discovered that Donald Trump is not an idiot. He's done a lot and intends to do more, including addressing the trade issue. So we may not like the tweeting and all, but the reality and the way he governs, but the reality is he gets the job done. And I think the markets trust that that's what's going on. But it's just a lot of noise right now. And with that noisy background, Kevin, I don't think that I don't think the market does real good. I don't think this is a disaster, and I certainly wouldn't be selling, but it is not, it's under pressure right now.
Right. And of course, the summer, it's time to take some time off as well.
That's why you get to get almost nobody on Wall Street. And so whatever the market will drift, tends to drift in whatever direction if there's some news. So if we get positive news, we'll see it drift higher. But it doesn't tend to have large trends in the summer. There's just not a lot of everybody's on vacation, to your point.
Not you.
No.
Not you.
No. No, man.
No, we had a shooting in Meridian this weekend on Saturday. Officers were called. Guy had a knife, had a gun. They protected themselves. The suspect didn't make it. The Treasure Valley is changing. We talk about this quite some time, all the time, whether it's the air quality, whether it's the infrastructure, whether it's more people moving in. You get a chance to travel around. You talk to the business community. What's from your outside perspective on just people moving into Boise and the Treasure Valley? Is it ever going to be too much? I see so many homes going up.
Yeah, well, it's too much for me, but that's, you either live in a growing community or you live in a shrinking community. You can't stay the same. And I wish the growth was a little bit slower. I truly do. We don't have the optimal growth rate, in my opinion. It's hard for us to catch up infrastructure-wise. My Boise is not my Boise anymore, any more than anybody else's is. It's become a very large community and getting larger very quickly. So it's not the same, Kevin, and I think that's too bad. But as we talked before about, a few weeks ago about the housing crisis, if you will, of affordability. If you live in if your housing prices aren't going up, then you live in a community that's dying. A council, a Cambridge, a place that isn't doing well, and that obviously we don't want that either. So I wish it was slowing a little bit slower, but the reality is the people moving in, by and large, are here for a better life away from the weird politics of California. And many of them are bringing a lot of money to when they sell their homes, and they're bringing businesses here as well. So it's a good group of people coming in, by and large. But with more people, you get more crazies, and crazy stuff like what happened in Meridian this weekend happens.
And some business news with our friend Dave Petso, Boise-based developer, former gubernatorial candidate Tommy Ahlquist has left the Gardner Company and has decided to join Ball Ventures on a new Idaho company. It's called BVA, Ball Ventures Ahlquist. They're going to focus on commercial real estate and investment. And one of the reasons why Dr. Ahlquist left the Gardner Company is to work on projects, I believe, outside of the state of Idaho. So you take a look at this, and Dr. Ahlquist getting back to work.
Yeah, he is. I admire anybody that took a shot at the elections. One of my clients also had an unsuccessful bid, and I just admire how hard they have to work. And Tommy Ahlquist certainly was a hard worker, very determined, and just came up short this time. And I'm sure his business career will, anybody that works that hard is going to be successful in life. And I admire everyone that ran for office and ran in a serious way. That's a big,
my favorite was,
I didn't run,
my favorite was that I wanted you to run.
Well, yeah,
you know that.
We
tried to recruit you.
It was very nice, very generous of you. But
I
tell you what,
that showdown between you and Dr. Ahlquist at the primary night.
Showdown?
Yeah.
In a showdown.
Said he's got to work on you.
I
said, I know.
I appreciate
it. I know Dr. Ahlquist. I work on him every week.
Every week, yeah. And I can't get him turned around.
But it shows you just that this BVA, I guess they're based in Idaho Falls, but they do a lot of big projects. So a little change of tune for Dr. Ahlquist going somewhere else and looking to expand his horizons. I wonder what's next for these guys that have run for governor. I know that's not your thing, but
yeah.
you're close to people that ran, that spent a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of emotional energy.
Yep.
And came up short. And then you've got, you know, Congressman Labrador. We're wondering what he's going to do. A big article in the Politico. We've reached out to his folks. Hopefully we'll get him on to talk about his future.
Yep.
We need to reach out to Dr. Ahlquist. Of course, the lieutenant governor moves on to win the governorship. And people go, well, he's not won it yet, but it's a foregone conclusion. But, you know, you delve into politics like Dr. Ahlquist, and then you go back to business. Do you believe it's ever the same?
I think that when you try to do something as hard as running for a wide-open office like Ahlquist did, I think it changes you, and I don't think anything in his life will be the same. You just really throw down and you take a lot of shots, and you just keep grinding day in and day out. I cannot imagine after the year and a half that he's had of raising funds, shaking hands, hugging babies, and all that stuff, that it doesn't change everything.
Well, not having a check.
And you don't run for office if you can't afford to take the
I'm with you, but still, no matter what, it's nice to have that check.
It always is nice to have a check.
I wouldn't know to be in the Petso sphere, but maybe checks
it's
are
nice
relevant.
To have a check.
Right. It's nice to have
it's
a check.
It's always nice to have a check.
Right. Big check, small check, it's nice to have a check.
Correct. But you don't but knowing you're not going to be working for a while, that's part of it. That is part of it.
But there's then putting
no,
that
expense.
But then putting that work into meeting people in this whole other atmosphere,
yep,
alternative reality.
Yeah, and then it doesn't work out.
Right.
I think it's a big thing. I mean, it's very few people get in the ring, right? And the people can stand on the outside and hurl insults and things like that, but very few people get in there. These guys do. They did. They threw down. They threw it all out there, and I admire them all for it. It's incredible what they have to go through.
Finally, your thoughts on Lieutenant Governor being governor?
The Idaho's running well, and he's got, and I just don't know how you have a really big campaign against why Idaho is under horrible governorship. Brad Little has been around forever. He isn't going to bring a lot of change, and that's fine. Idaho's doing well, and he's a hell of a nice man. You know, he just is everybody that knows him likes Brad Little, and I think that says a lot for the man himself. So I think he'll be a great governor.
Well, just like Reagan and unlike Obama, Governor Otter helped his lieutenant governor.
He did. Mm-hmm. You're right. Good point. Very good point. Yes, he did. He was able to help a lot. There wasn't a lot of difference there. It just moved right on to the next iteration, if you will.
So what should we be looking out for? Kevin, times at the beach.
Yeah. Kevin, we're going to be looking at, you know what we're really looking for right now is something to, if you will, dial back the rhetoric on trade. That's probably the top thing, top one, two, three things right now. And then what we always talk about, Kevin, is what you can't see coming.
Sure.
That's what really hurts the market. It always does. Something will come out of the blue at some point, not this week. But right now, what's in front of us is trade. Dial it back. The trade rhetoric would be nice to have it dialed back, but I am very, very proud of this president for tackling these incredibly difficult things. It's hard to do to take those kind of shots, and he just does every day. Every single day gets in there and says, no, this is not right what the Chinese are doing. This is not right what's going on in North Korea. This is not right, the Iranian deal. Instead of appeasing the entire world and then watching it burn on somebody else's watch, like Obama did, he's in there tackling. And on top of that, you throw in tax reform. I don't know when this guy sleeps. It's unbelievable how much
he's
done.
If you ever follow him on Twitter, he doesn't sleep. He's tweeting at 3 in the morning.
There you go. That's why I don't tweet, Kevin.
Dave Petso, the ambassador for social media. We appreciate it. Thank you,
yes,
sir.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for joining us. It's 580-5436-580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right. Well, you know, the market churns. And, I don't want to talk about the whys and whats and whether the market's looking bullish or bearish and silly things like that, because it is silly. What the reality is that if I sound bearish, I sound smart. If I sound bullish, I sound dumb. The way it's always been, weirdly, the bears are always wrong. Oh, they might be right in the short term. They're always wrong, 100% of the time, in the long run. But they get all the intellectual gravitas, if you will. All of it. All of it. If you put your chin down, rub your hair, or better yet, if you kind of have a goatee, tug on it, a little gray in that goatee or all gray, just tug on it a little bit, and shake your head. Man, you just look so smart. So smart. Where if you just kind of say, I think things are going to work out. I think that this, for example, with trade, I think that this trade thing's going to work out. I think that the president's doing a fine job. Whatever it is, if it's positive, you are a Pollyanna. The way it is, and it's kind of weird when you think about that. And it really affects us in investing. Not because, analysts just want to sound smart. Oh yeah, all human beings want to sound smart. They don't prefer to be thought of or dismissed as insignificant or non-thinkers. Nobody does. But bears having all this intellectual gravitas and then, sounding out the alarm about an inverted yield curve or inflation fears or something like that, they just sound so aware of what we should be concerned with. But the idea that they're smart and always smart, even in a history of, let's say, 20 or 30 years of being dead wrong, and many bears are. Well, I guess all bears are. He just keeps sounding the alarm, and people keep listening. Wow, God, he's just so smart. And why is he never right if he's so smart? It's an interesting thought. I'm not sure why we do this. Why fear and concern and panic, if you will, even in some cases, we deem as bright thought instead of what it is. Failed thought. Wrong thought. I mean dead wrong thought. There's nothing wrong with worrying about inflation kicking up. What I'm saying is, why do we give such gravitas to that and so little to somebody who says, I'm really not worried about it, and here's why. We dismiss. It really affects us. So when we sit around and we say, well, we need to go interview some more bears so we have a great intellectual discussion here, that distorts everybody's feeling of what's really going on. The market, since the bottom, is up like 400%. That's a fact. But you sure wouldn't have thought that things are good. 400%. Don't just throw that out. It's like saying it's a trillion miles or 4 trillion miles to the nearest sun, other than our sun, of course. Like 4 light years. I mean, it's just an inconceivable amount. The universe is infinite. Okay, I can't perceive that. That means nothing. Numbers, big, doesn't matter. Stop. Think about it. $100,000 is worth $400,000 from the bottom. People made a life-changing decision in early 2009, either stay or to bail. And that decision kept coming up constantly as the doomsdayers constantly told you. You needed to worry about Brexit. You needed to worry about QE 1, 2, 3, and 4. It was never going to work. It was going to cause hyperinflation. What about, where's the hyperinflation? I'm serious. You can't wait, two decades and then call it, then say you're right, because you're not. They're wrong. What happened with the failure of QE? They're wrong. It didn't fail. What happened when we were going to taper, since it was all phony? The market was going to crash. Interest rates were going to skyrocket. Wrong. Where's the line of people that were dead wrong, screaming and yelling about the sky is falling? Where are they to fall on their spears? To even admit that they were wrong once would like just tip you over in your chair, wouldn't it? No, they just go on to the next one. Peter Schiff was wrong about gold. Well, I'm not going to be wrong about that. It tells about the collapse of the dollar. Wrong other than that. Because how he wasn't really wrong. It just was the timing was wrong. And then he's wrong again. Double down on the gold going to 5,000 an ounce. Wrong. Because it's going to have hyperinflation. Wrong. You know, I think I want to read more of what Peter Schiff thinks about. Why? Makes no sense. I want more Warren Buffett. Dial it back. Be simplistic in our thought process. Don't we just really want to, do we really need to fuss about money? Is money need to be like the feeling in a casino where you have to guess red or black? Is that what you have to do with your investments? I mean, is it always have to be a game? For some people, it does. It's gambling. I know. It's, you know, I'm a day trader. Okay, you're a daily gambler. That's fine. For most people, that's really what it is. They like the action. Okay. But for you and I, this is not a gambling thing at all. This is a buy and hold investment. I had a discussion just yesterday with a client who was being recommended to a former client, being recommended to sell out some positions. I said, why? Well, you know, going another direction. I said, okay, that's fine. Go another direction, but why? Why would you sell Apple? Up 500 or 600%. Maybe it was 1,000%. I can't remember. I think, oh, Google was like 1,000%. From where you bought it? To pay taxes? To do what? Buy Google in another form? Separately managed account, something like that. Why? Google, Apple, Costco. These stocks were up hundreds of percent because they were bought and held. That's the only reason why. That's the only reason why. Or you can trade them every day because you want the action. That makes no sense to me. I would rather, I don't know, enjoy my grandkids, play a round of golf, visit with a friend, or gamble on the computer with stocks every day. Oh, I don't gamble. But the point is, if you sit around and you grind on that stuff every day, if you like the action, you like the action, fine. But you think you're being tuned in by reading negative bearish reports every day? No, you're not. You're not. Not being tuned in at all. They're being tuned out. They're helping keep you out. Long-term returns are great. They're great. They're better than anything else. We need to dial it back. We've got to dial back. It's just not easy to live in a bearish, loud world and be a bull. But particularly when it's dismissed as not deep thought. Particularly tricky on us. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, please do give us a call. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Bob in Boise. Bob, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. If a person has a target date retirement fund, and with rising interest rates, should a person have any concern for the bond part of that for the next few years, or will that kind of steady out, and since your value is going to be going down?
Right.
And if that bond component is level or a negative, should that be a concern where a person should, instead of with a target date retirement fund, because that's kind of an easy thing for people to put together to have, that you would go more
right.
piece by piece so you would get a better shake with your bond component. Should that be a concern or no? That's too much micromanaging.
Well, no, I it's a little of both. I think you should be concerned. But I also think that you don't want to be concerned about little fluctuations or thinking you know what the interest rate environment is going to be. We don't. But, for example, for years now, everybody's talked about interest rates rising. My biggest problem, though, is this. When we're looking at a target date fund, we often think of it as an end point, and they're designed that way. So if you're going to retire in 5 or 10 years, they have a huge bond component in there because they're acting like we have to deliver a certain amount with, you know, minimal risk that could deviate at all. And that's really not true because it's a change point. We're now retiring at that time, and we now need income for life. So what the target is that here's this mountain of money. Now you have to go invest it again. Instead of thinking of it as how am I going to change it dynamically into a income for life component, right? And so to me, target dates give that whole perspective of we're sitting in too much in bonds because we are targeting a sum of money at a certain time. From there,
so what? Yeah.
I won't. So go ahead.
So it wouldn't be for management to change that, and instead of doing the target retirement where you put your own components together of that.
I think it would.
Having someone else do it for you,
well,
and then
I would put them together. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I would.
Right.
Or what I also recommend, if you really don't know the funds, or that's one of your best choices are the target date funds. And in some accounts, that is, right? You basically have an S&P
right.
index, and I understand the way the world has gone for them, for these trustees and 401k plans. It's all about cost, not about what is appropriate. And cost is an important and appropriate thing to can be concerned about, but it isn't the end-all, be-all. And so when we are only dealing with that, it does create some problems within the management of these funds. Target dates could be the best options, but what I would do is if you had 5 or 10 years until retirement is choose one that's out 20 or 30 years, maybe even longer, depending on how you feel about it or how close you are to 10 years. I would not be looking at something that was going to pull me out of the market and put me into 2% government bonds. And that really is, if we bring that back fundamentally, I don't have to guess what interest rates are going to do. If interest rates are at 2%, I can't win. And that, to me, is the fundamental bottom line. If I have a chunk of my money, 30%, say, in a target date fund, is in something that's earning 2, that is not going to be acceptable to me. I know it can only do 2, period. I don't care what the 10-year rate of return is. Interest rates are 2. That's what you're going to get. And there's no reason to contemplate whether interest rates are going up or down. I'm not going to succeed, period. Therefore, I don't want those bonds. Now, when rates rise, we can have this discussion again in a logical way and say, I want a balanced portfolio. But do I want a balanced portfolio that can't work? No, I don't. I want a balanced portfolio that can work. And so we want to find diversification in other ways. And sometimes that's difficult within the 401k. And I don't want to say act like it's easy because it's not. They just don't have, they're not going to have a fund for alternative investments. They're not going to have a fund of with real estate in it or something like that. They're not going to have high yielding bond or a stock fund that might help offset a rising interest rate environment or be an alternative to bonds. They are not going to have all those options. So we do our best within the confines, and there's nothing wrong with that. But outside, we can also model what you should be doing to try to gear up as you get closer to retirement as for income for life. Okay, that makes sense, because I didn't think about that part. Just change your target date, and that would change that bond component, and you can always down the line look at another change if needed.
Correct. And also, as you get closer to retirement, if you really have no options, then that's a time to be considering taking the money out. And I'm talking about a year or two out, say the market's doing well. How do I, you know, gear this up to make it ready for income for retirement when I don't have good options in my 401k? It's a great question. If you don't have a lot of outside assets, if you have a lot of outside assets, great. You use those to position yourself in the early years in retirement and then keep going with the target date. But if you don't and you have most of your assets there, you can do an in-service distribution, meaning you can take money out of your 401k, put it into your own IRA, and then start building a portfolio that's more appropriate.
Okay. All right. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. I think we've got another call. Ray, do we have another call? Go ahead and put them up if we do. Are you there?
Hello?
Do we have a caller? Yes. Hey, thanks. So, I'm sorry. Obviously, I'm remote, and so it's difficult to do, and I've also got poor coverage. I'm up here in McCall enjoying the weekend. So.
Well, you're not out on the golf course yet then.
No, I am not. No, actually, it's going to be a biking day. How about that?
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, young Professor Petzo, you did well by me. I am retired, and I put an addition on the house, bought a car, and lost interest in the markets.
Yeah.
Back in July,
yeah, good for you.
July 15, I took some money out of the market, about 40%, back off the money market, and just sort of sitting back, and I started listening again, and you are now convincing me that I was kind of silly, listening to all the rabble and the panic and everything out there.
Sure.
How does one get his inspiration back?
Okay, that's a good question. All right, so that's a great question, actually. You know, it is a hard thing to do because we are all going to be buried in a world where we are plugged in, and we all are, of negativity. How do I get a rise above that, if you will? And the answer is it's hard. You just have to continue to plug in all the time and listen to the positive side of things and ask yourself this question, okay? Why is it that if the world is growing, why shouldn't I own equities? If the world is growing, why shouldn't I own equities?
Hmm.
Forget about all the little minutiae, right? This is wrong, that's wrong, inverted yield curves, this blah, blah, that blah, blah. And recognize that every day we have to have news reported at us. Doesn't matter if it's accurate. I'm not even talking about the fake news part or the political part.
Right.
Just the part that we have got to yell and scream to get your attention. It's not always accurate or even important, but it can sound that way, and then we get people's eyeballs watching. So be careful what the inputs are, and also just always ask that question. If everything is so bad, why is everything growing? If the world is growing, corporate profits are growing, and sure, we will have corrections, and maybe tomorrow is a better day to buy than today. But really, in the scheme of things of the rest of your life, does 1% matter? 2% matter? No. It matters that you're in and that you stay in. That's how you put the addition on your house and all, right?
Right.
You were in.
That leads to the next question. Are y'all taking new customers?
You bet.
No, sir.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Especially old ones. Old new ones are great. Come on back. All right.
All righty, sir. Thank you.
I got to roll, but you get back in. You got to get back in. This is a great game, and it works. We'll talk to you soon. And we'll talk to you on the other side of the break. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only, not this station, broker-dealer, or anything like that. And I mean this in all sincerity. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell, and all that nonsense. And it is nonsense, as we've been discussing. Warren Buffett doesn't buy, and sell. We all want to be Warren Buffett. And I think that's pretty simple, straightforward. Why don't we act more like that? Don't have to be exact, but it's not a trading platform. It's not day trade with somebody else's money. Like, really?
I think your grandmother who didn't get through the ninth grade already knows that doesn't work. I have no training. I'm just going to go make money, and other people are going to give me money to do this. Right. That's how it works. Pretty incredible. But as we discussed in the last hour, the world is working against you. I mean, emotionally. That's all we have to really think about. What I mean is, not all we have to think about, wrong way of phrasing it. That's the main thing we have to think about when we're hearing things. Not that everything is a fake news. But isn't everything exaggerated to get your eyeballs to watch? Isn't it? I mean, think about this. We have a first 10% correction in the market in 2 years, beginning of this year. You would have thought the world was ending, stock market-wise. How bad it's going to get. We're going to have a trade war. We're going to this. And every day when they talk about the trade war, and the market just, yeah, trade war, huh? Boring. It's bored with it. What do these news companies do to get you watching? They just have to hang at it. Like, let's go over here. Look at this. These people are affected over here. The cost of bicycles is going up because of aluminum tariffs. Okay. This could sink the economy. I mean, how many of those articles can they write? Apparently, thousands of them. There just isn't news every day. There really isn't. There's not a lot going on every day. There isn't. When we really look at it simplistically, we look at the market simplistically, we look at the world simplistically, and just try to take all this complex noise down to this. Is the world growing? Yes or no? Not yes, but. There's plenty of yeah, buts that get us nowhere. I'm just saying it as a simple analysis. Is the world growing? Yes. Okay, it is. Does growth spell additional corporate profits? Yes or no? Yes. Not yeah, but. Yes. If corporate profits are increasing, ultimately, maybe not today, but ultimately, will stock prices go higher? Yes. Then why wouldn't I want to own? Well, let me tell you about all this noise I hear day to day. Why? It's not a good time to get in now. Stock prices are high. What about valuations? What about inverted yield curves? We're about to this. What about a trade war? What about what's going on with China? What's about what's going on in the emerging markets? The dollar's too strong. It's too weak. I don't know. Oil prices are too high. They're too low. I don't know. Worry, 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 worry. It's never, it's okay. Have you ever heard somebody talk about currency in a positive way? Well, the U.S. dollar is strong. This is good. No, it's bad because it's bad for trade. The U.S. dollar is weak because it implies we're going to have a higher inflation. It could be we're at death's doorstep again. Well, which is it? Is strong good? It sounds good. No, it's not good. Bad for trade. Then weak must be good. No, that's bad too. So it's all bad all the time. But yes, absolutely. That's correct. Why? You see, if we don't just literally shut it down. You know, I've talked about this before. Hold on. Let me grab the Fidelity article. This is fantastic, okay? Talked about this a zillion times. But Fidelity reviewed which investors did best and what they found was hilarious. Hilarious. It's really not funny, actually. It's not. Here's why. So Fidelity, who has thousands and thousands and thousands of accounts, and we have to know our customer, right? So we have to know how old they are, what their education level is, what their income level is, all those things, right? Men or women. Got to know those things. I know the men and women part, very confusing these days because, and I'm sorry we have to ask that question. I think we need a gender neutral circle to color in sometime, right? You know, because I don't know. I might be identifying myself as a woman today, man, a man tomorrow. So does that require a new change form? I think it's very confusing, but basically men and women, okay? So we know what they are. So are men better investors than women? Are women older women, younger women, higher education, which you would think, of course, right? I mean, we know all these things. Better education, smarter, you are a better investor. Does smarts equate to better investor? Interesting question. I would actually say, no, it doesn't actually do that at all. In fact, I know it doesn't do that. So we have we slice it and dice it, young, old, black, white, all these things, right? And you know who the best investor was? The very best were people that were dead or forgot they had an account. Seriously. People that didn't even know they had an account, so they left it alone. We're so far and away, nobody was even close. I don't really agree with the article. I don't think it's hilarious at all. I think it's tragic. But you see, you know what people do with that information. They don't see themselves in the mirror. That's not me. It can't be me. I'm not like that. And when we do that, we're unable to learn anymore. There is no learning at that point. That's not me means I'm not changing. Simple. That's not me. I don't need to change. I think that's tragic. I really do. But when we talk about this, it's still the same thing. I get it. And you know what? We've got hundreds and hundreds of clients that get it. They really don't call when there's a 10% correction. But you know, I'm asked all the time, is this kind of the one to worry about? So I get we can't completely forget. You know what I mean? We can't completely ignore. I'm willing to accept that. I am. Now, I don't like it either when the market gets all fussy for what I think are silly reasons. I don't like it either. But I got to tell you, I really did like it a couple weeks ago and the beginning of this week. Because it felt like things were getting messy, mucked up, just because trading volumes were low, things like that. Okay, and I'm not trying to get into the day-to-day trading. I'm just saying, market's been a little sloppy. It's going nowhere. But corporate profits are good. They're not good. They're off the charts. Great. We've never seen this before. Kind of great. Okay? This is just ridiculous how good things are. It is ridiculous. And so when we get pauses, even small ones, get a couple percent price break, and sometimes those equate to 5, 10%, even more price breaks in individual stocks and industries. There's always stuff that's really going through a correction within the market. There always is. There's always stuff hitting new highs within, even in downturns, right? There's always stuff in there. We think of the market as one big thing, organism, but there are opportunities that come along from time to time. So banks take a hit, even though they announced really good earnings this past quarter. And things appear to me to be just getting better and better all the time for banks. But the stock prices took a hit. That looks like a buy to me. So if you've got cash, those types of corrections are a real blessing. There's nothing wrong with them. Shouldn't be fussy about it. But generally speaking, it keeps people out. It keeps them away. And it is not a day-to-day thing to look at closely. Stock prices are not stock values. We own businesses, and we have to remind ourselves that all the time. Stocks are a percentage of ownership of a business. Does a business value really change that much every day? Well, of course it doesn't. Like ever change that much in a day. Ever. But the market moves it that way. That is our advantage. Price change is all we have to put up with the very best investment there is, with no management, highest returns there is. Everybody can get in for $50 a month or more. There's nothing like it. Nothing. Nothing's even close. And the only price you have to pay is price. Movement. That's it. Price movement. Ooh, that's scary. No, it's not. Not unless you let it be. Not unless you let it be. So I get it. We can't ignore price movement. It is the price we pay. But we can acknowledge that prices move, and can we use them to our advantage? Of course we can. Can we freak out about it? Of course we can. I don't recommend it. Freaking out about absolutely irrelevant things is kind of stupid. But if you choose to do that, there's nothing anybody can do about that. It's up to each of us. People can hear, they can say, that's not me. They look in the mirror, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. Therefore, I'm done learning. Now, nobody says that out loud, right? You don't out loud go, hey, you know what? I don't want to learn anything anymore. I'm perfect the way I am. Nobody says that out loud. Nobody says, I want to be irrational with my investments so that I have a lot less money in retirement, that I cannot educate my children. Nobody, for example, when we overspend and do things, do they ever really stop and admit, you know, I really screwed up. I really meant to educate my kids, but instead, I bought a bunch of toys that depreciated and didn't do anything. I was really stupid. Nobody ever says that. Nobody says out loud when we go buy a boat or whatever. Not putting boats down, goodness gracious. But I'm just saying, you know, things that the two biggest days in people's lives are the day you buy them and the day you sell them, right? Okay, those kinds of things. We go buy something, and then we buy something else, or we buy too big a car, too nice a car, too much house, all because we feel bigger ego about us, ourselves, whatever, because, I mean, for the wrong reasons, okay? You do what you want to do. I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just simply saying, we do too much. We do that. Do we make this choice? Do we talk to ourselves and say, I am making a choice to not educate my children and instead buy toys and fancy vacations and cars that are way more than I need. That's what my choice is. Nobody has that discussion out loud. Nobody. Nobody. And I'm not saying you can't have nice things. Don't misunderstand. Everybody can. As long as we make sure we have the choices, we make the right choices. What's really important? Because money's a choice. Panicking about money is a choice. Watching too much news, too much TV, too much of whatever it is. Reading, blogging, living in the world of negative. None of that helps. We've got to dial all that back. Get a real perspective. Be real. And make those choices. I choose to spend my time burying myself in negativity. Because that's not me when I look in the mirror. That's not me. That's other people. Not me. We do that. We do that with all kinds of aspects of our lives. But what I'm saying is when it comes to investment, that's why you tuned in. This is deadly to investing. It's not learning. It's not knowledge. The closer you get, the more likely you're going to make a stupid mistake and think you know something you don't and get out. And then when do you get back in? Burying in negativity keeps you out. Since the market bottom, we're up 400%. 400%. Life-changing decision in early 2009. What did you do? And did you keep adding? Did you get back in? Whatever it was. Life-changing decisions. Or you can walk away and let the markets take care of themselves. The question is the world growing? Are corporate profits growing? Is business growing? If the answer is yes, why don't I want to be part of that? You really think you got this? Warren Buffett doesn't know what he's doing? That day trading thing? That trading thing? I can get in and out. I know what's going on. Look in the mirror. And look for the blind spots. This is harder than we think. Or everybody, literally, would buy and hold and get rich. I mean everyone. If you can do this for $50 a month, that's everyone. But we watch the wrong things. You don't need to trade. You need to sit on your hands. I got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That's our number. Do give us a call. And if you prefer email, that's fine also. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And speaking of which, let's go ahead and grab an email here. This is from Joe. He asked, Dave, are stock funds seeing outflows still, and how is the investor sentiment index these days? Now, good question, because these are both good contrary indicators. And what we mean by that, of course, is that if everybody's all bullish, that's not good for stocks. It doesn't tend to be. It's not a perfect correlation at all or a great timing device at all, but it is something that is very definitely a red flag. And or if everybody is negative, then it's a very good positive indicator because it means money's available to come back into the market. We haven't overbought. There's plenty of cash on the sidelines, so to speak. So both are great contrary indicators. Money flows have been very negative, and since the average investor is, frankly, poor at investing, it is a good contrary indicator, meaning they put money in when markets are soaring. They take money out when they're not. Rarely. And I really don't know of any in history. Have we seen anything like this, the most disrespected bull market in history? Up 400%. Market's doing great. The economy's doing great. Kicking on all cylinders, and people continue to pull money out of stocks. It's really quite remarkable and weird. But it does show why I spend so much time talking about the negative news. Why do I spend so much time grinding on that? Leave it alone. I get it, right? No, we don't get it. It is an infection. It keeps coming back. We turn on the TV, and we're infected by negativity. We're infected over and over again, and we think we're above it. Again, look in the mirror. That's not me. That's just not me. Well, money flows are the same thing. We're seeing that. Where money and this market that keeps going higher is actually coming out. Why? I don't know. Because I do know. People are afraid. I don't know why they're afraid. Why do people live in fear in the most abundant time that human beings have been on this planet? Why? I don't know. But we do, and it extrapolates to everything, right? From bubble wrapping our kids to go outside, we're sure they're going to disappear if we turn our back for a second. If some kid somewhere disappears or what have you, it's news forever, and we assume that this happens every day on every block all across the country. Our kids are in imminent danger, not one in a billion chance that something's going to go wrong. We have no way of seeming to dial it back because news comes at us all the time. It is a problem. And when it comes to money flows, they are negative right now, which is very bullish. Meaning money's still coming out, still very bullish. Don't know why. I just don't know why. As far as investor sentiment, interesting point, though. That is really still relatively positive, which, again, is contrary to what we're just saying, right? If it's not negative, why are people pulling money out? But it's not super positive either. It's certainly not a bearish indicator. We're not moving the other direction either. Joe, these are great points to always watch. They're not good market timing things. They really are not. We don't want to try to time the market based on that, but they are something to always keep in mind. And right now, the indicators are for the markets to continue to do okay. They're not the most bullish signals, meaning people have pulled so much money out or the negative sentiment is so high, but they are negative enough on both to continue to be positive. But if you will, let's keep this in mind. This is just one indicator. Again, it's good to watch. It's not good to market time. And the bottom line I'm looking at all the time these days, and it's certainly helped me over the last 10 years of this bull market, is the fundamental question. Is the economy growing? Are corporate profits growing? Is the world growing? And even in the toughest times, the answer was, yeah, we were growing. And we always have bumps, and that's what people forget. Well, what about the this? What about that? We'll have bear markets. We're not going to repeal that. Even if the world is growing, we'll have bear markets. Things get out of whack. But I don't see anything out of whack. Valuations aren't that high. What are the options, right? So if we look at things that aren't out of whack, we don't see bubbles everywhere. And I know that's a great thing to talk about, bubbles everywhere. And if you get to call it, I guess you get to be the next hero. I don't see bubbles everywhere. I don't see bubbles anywhere, perhaps in bonds. But that's it. And bonds aren't going to take us out. But what will take us out is when we do things like lend too much money and credit, we get up too much leverage into the system, all those things will kill us. That's not there. Those are not there. Let me mention real quickly as an aside before we go to Fox News. When we look at different data, one of the things that I think is critically important is we look at different data, we've got to know what context it's in. Now, what do I mean by that? When we look at the context of that data, is it accurate or misleading? So if we look at a chart that shows, straight up chart, exploding debt. Now, I've talked about this before, but it's still out there. You'll see it. Exploding debt. What's going on out there with regard to loans on subprime cars? Meaning, people that really can't afford a car are buying them anyway. What is going on there? And it's exploding, this debt, right? It looks terrible, really terrible. Student loan debt, horrible. Now, let's put that in the context of the whole, because that's what matters, not that little piece. But you see, if you're trying to sell a story of how bad things are, this is a good little narrow the story down. So always try to understand the context, not the little bullet point of what's going on. What we need to do, I think, in regards to these types of things, is stop and really dig in or stop and recognize, I don't know. I don't really follow this. I don't really know. And dial it back. Don't believe one data point if you do not know the context, really fully understand the context. It's really important. So when we look at these things, we look at all this negative, like the spiking, car loans and student loans, get all that. But in the whole context of things, our debt picture as a nation, as a world, is looking pretty good. All right, we got to take a break for Fox News. Thanks, Joe, for the email. And by the way, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Also, I'd prefer to talk to you right now online at 208-580-5436. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on KITO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Love to hear you join us, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. As we look at all the little data points, if you will, and I'm not a all the little data points guy, but they do add up sometimes, and we get into these quiet periods, really quiet periods, super quiet periods called summer, particularly around 4th of July. Nothing going on. We're kind of in a quiet period for companies. They're not buying back their stock. Boring. Everybody's on vacation. The 4th of July, of course, decides to pick the middle of the week this time. Who's working next week? Nobody. Nobody's working. And this kind of on and off goes on all summer anyway. So we get these little drifting things where things can happen, and the reality is nothing's going on. So again, as I've discussed over and over, let's dial it back, take it easy. We don't need to be overreacting to everything out there at all. And if we get a drift down, that's a buying opportunity. Nothing to worry about. And if it drifts up and you need some money out there in a few months, that's a selling opportunity. If you don't need money in the next few months, be very, very slow to even care what the stock price is. You don't need to be trading. That's really good, as I pointed out before, for the tax man. What we really want to do is make sure we have lots of capital gains and we sit out the market. Of course you don't want to do that. Again, nobody says these things out loud. What I wish to do is destroy our the finances of my family. What I really wish to do is make sure my kids don't go to school because I want to make sure we have a really fancy looking lifestyle that we can't afford, but we feel really good about it. Nobody says these things out loud. But our actions speak. Our actions are along those lines, often. Again, it's not to say that you don't do what you want to do with your own money. Absolutely, you should. I'm all about that. But we really should, at least in our own brains, be saying these things out loud when we look in the mirror and we say, what should we be doing? So when we're talking about trading, we're talking about taxes, we're talking about what's going on this time of year, here's the fundamental news. New family homes soared this past week. I don't remember that being on the front page of the paper. Soared. They're about 14% year over year. That's not home prices. And you know, isn't this true? We always do this, right? We always do this. Yeah, nice that you know, housing's booming and stuff like that in the Boise Valley, but and pretty much anywhere, right? Because things are good, right? But it makes affordable housing very difficult. People have to live a long ways out. Yeah, true. So what's the alternative? Ask council how that is, you know, because you have no growth. Housing prices are affordable. All the kids are leaving because there are no jobs. So yes, everything, if we want it to be, can be a crisis. It can be a horrible thing. But this is the highest increase in new family home sales since 2007. Not talked about. What we do is we watch protests somewhere, so things aren't really working. That, you know, we watch something somewhere, and then we figure out that, you know what? Not everybody's all fired up about everything. It doesn't feel that way, though, does it? Right? They're just not. Do you know what the one-year trailing buybacks plus dividends are in the market? One-year trailing. The combined buybacks of stock and dividends paid by companies. In other words, how much are we paying out to shareholders? We just surpassed the all-time record. Oh, I mean, we surpassed that. But now we get a nice big fat number that's never been hit before. $1 trillion. $1 trillion. I don't think that's going to stop or slow down at all. $1 trillion. Are things okay in corporate world land, in shareholder land? Yeah. They're killing it. The bank tests just went through. And pretty much all the banks are cleared to raise dividends. And their capital plans are approved. Yep, that was all this past week's front page news, wasn't it? Not at all. Never is. never is. Instead, it's some distortion of what's really going on. And I do mean distortion. It's news. Hey, things are not working over here. This thing isn't as great as it could be. All those things are real. But isn't it also real that things are pretty darn good? The world is growing. Corporations are making more money. Life is pretty good. The cup is clearly, clearly more than half full. I think it's difficult, but the Bears always look more intelligent, always sound smarter when they scratch their beards and tell us how bad things are. It's tough to rise above, but we have to. We have got no choice. We have to do this, or you can't see the world clearly. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take our final break here in today's program, and I'm hopeful that we get some people on the line at 580-5436. 580-KIDO to talk about what you want to talk about, not what I want to talk about. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM and 580 AM.
Hello and welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that's our number. Also, if you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. Hope you all are enjoying a nice weekend and getting ready for the 4th of July. It is a quiet time. It's a quiet time on Wall Street, really any business. There's no question. It's just a slowdown. And it seems to me as fast as the world moves anymore, people are enjoying a lot more leisure time, if you will. No doubt that each generation seems to work less than the prior generation. In many ways. And I know many people are plugged in and wired in all the time at work. And it really is this fast-paced thing. But remember, in investing, it just doesn't help us to be fast-paced and plugged in and know or care what your Apple stock is doing on a day-to-day basis. As a curiosity, okay. But we really do need to recognize that, in fact, when we are dialed in all the time, we don't know. We do not know what in the world is really going on. We think so, but we're not. It just isn't true. We just don't know. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We do need to take a quick break here, but I do know we've got a caller on, but I'd be darned because I'm remote. I just cannot seem to get these to come up on my iPad. So let's just go ahead and go to the phones and let me know who's there.
Morning, Dave.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Hi.
Hey, Dave. It's Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Sure. I've gone through my portfolio just recently, and I'm a little short on small caps. And the growth has really done well, but is it too late to get in on that?
A great question. And small caps are still lagging a little bit if we think of it on a multi-year basis, okay? I know that year-to-date, small caps killing it, right? I mean, they're running well ahead of their bigger brethren, but that's the first time in several years.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't want to say that this is the year for small cap or anything like that, but things tend to return to the mean, don't they, in the markets? I mean, if value is beating growth, growth beats value, and so on. It's not a good timing mechanism, but if you're a little shy on small cap, the valuations to me look great. I would definitely add to it and not be concerned.
But the thing is the growth, because I've got some value and I've got some blend.
In the small cap space?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like the blend. I really do. I'm not sure you have to go either way. I realize that, of course, that academic studies show that small cap value is the one spot in the market that clearly outperforms everything else is small cap value. Well, but that's not true all the time. It's
not right
true
now.
In periods of time. What's that? Not right now is right. Exactly. It's all about growth. And you have to ask yourself these questions, too, from time to time. I know John Templeton he's a genius, and he always said, he's, you know, my hero. He always said that the five most dangerous words in investing are this time it is different.
You know, that's true. But you know what the genius of this man was? Is he always said, also. And he's not wasn't being a politician, he was being dead serious. And that is that he would always say, it's always different. There's different people in the world, there's different technology, different industries, different levers, if you will. So I often ask that question in that both ways, like, don't overthink this. Don't think that you have a circumstance where it is so different this time. But at the same time, ask yourself, what is different? And I'll tell you, in my mind right now, what is different is, in fact, it's huge, right? We're technologically, we are running fast, so fast, that industries are disappearing and other industries are coming up so fast. Does that change the value proposition? To me, it does. I don't know that I really want a road mix company anymore, right? They're being replaced. Or something like energy companies that I worry about, not worry, I'm happy about, but renewable energy is going to someday replace most oil need. So do I want a company that's really beaten down, barely hanging on, and hoping the oil prices go to $100 a barrel? No, I don't. I don't want those anymore. And you can call them value, you can call them versus growth, but I also don't want solar companies that rely on government money to even exist. So we have to find balance in both. But I do think that things have shifted from this automatic go and buy beaten down companies. We have to recognize that they're disappearing at lightning speed to companies that are replacing them with better technology. Are they cutting edge and selling for a low price for not a good reason, or is there a good reason and I'm about to get killed? So I again, trying to use John Templeton as an example in his brilliant thought process, I think we need to be careful, but also be careful that it isn't different this time. Things will return to the mean and value will be value, but be careful.
All righty, Dave.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
In the market.
You got it. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You know, Paul brings up something there, and it's not me, it's us, and I appreciate the thought, the sentiment, but this is a game that requires only a couple of things. And it's not really a game, it's just it's so important, I hardly want to call it a game. Because it's not. This is our life, this is our investments, it's our money, and money's important. It is, no matter what you think. Even the hippies think it's important, right? I gotta have money to buy stuff. Gotta have money to be comfortable, to be at peace, to not have to worry about where the next meal roof is. All those things. It is important. Why I say that is it's so important. It shouldn't be diminished, dismissed in any way, shape, or form. As, yeah, it's not that important to me or what have you. It is super important and we need to be good at it. We do. We do. But being up on it every day and watching over the markets is not helpful to people. There's only two things you have to do. You have to start and you have to finish. That's it. And what I mean by finishing is you stay in. You don't bail. Things happen. Bubbles build up, then they pop. We have out of balance in some aspect or another in the economy, debt or whatever, and we have a market correction. These are certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. You know, and I know I say it all the time, but I want to repeat it this time because it's so important to understand this. This is absolutely certain to occur over and over again all the days of our lives. The market will correct. The market will actually go into bear market. You don't care. Oh, you might care. Fine. Care all you want. Don't do anything. You want to freak yourself out? Freak out. Read all you can. Run around like a gerbil on a wheel. And go nowhere. Give yourself a heart attack. Give yourself ulcers. Drive everybody in your family away from you in your nutty behavior. Isn't going to lead you any closer to the truth. It leads you further away. But don't sell.
Drive yourself crazy. Drive all of those around you crazy. But don't sell. We have to stay. It's all you have to do. That's your whole responsibility. How hard is that? Really? You can't stay? You can't buy a business and hold on to that business? What's the matter with you? You see what I mean? We got to sometimes just stop ourselves. Look in the mirror and say, that is me. It really is me. I got some things here. I got some blind spots over here. I got to dial in better on whatever it is. There's a zillion things. Yeah, we all kind of joke about these things, right? Like some angry guy that's always angry about stuff, always mad about stuff, you know, is a jerk, right? Or worse, right? It's not okay. It's not okay to just walk around and be a jerk. Say, hey, that's me. You know, that's just who I am. I drive people crazy. I drive them away in my life. I absolutely, that's who I am. That's not okay. And that's kind of a ridiculous exaggeration, but it's not. Because, see, we then say, yeah, that's not me, and that's probably not you. But is it you to be dialing in? And so we're always on the edge of maybe trying to bail out. Is that possibly true? Are we a little dialed in and not recognizing the two things that we have to do to be successful? I mean, rich, successful. I mean, I've said this before. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.2 million in the S&P 500. Not the best stock. You didn't have to catch an IPO. Just the general market. That's $150 a month. I would call that everybody, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you call that everybody could do that? So everybody can. So the real question becomes, will they start? Everybody can start. But the trick in this is to stay. You don't waffle on this. You start and you finish. And I just don't think we talk about it enough. I really don't. What's the key to investing? The seven keys to success. There's like hundreds and hundreds of business books that talk about the zillion keys. And then there's a zillion investment books. How about buy and hold the great corporations of the world? Spend the dividends all the days of your life. You'll be rich. You'll live richly. And your kids will inherit piles. Thanks for reading. We don't have a lot of those books. Because it doesn't sound real frantic, right? And so those lessons of buying and hanging in, we do have to hang in. We do. And when the world is so noisy, and remember now, too, yeah, we have to also deal with all the media. Okay, most all the media hates Donald Trump. So what kind of honest reporting are we getting about economic? It's like begrudgingly. You know, GDP is looking like it's going to be 4% this quarter. Well, what do you think it is? Oh, I think it's global growth. It's stuff outside the United States. You know, Bob, I think that that's what's going on here. You know, it's outside the United States. It's not at all. You know, the fact that we cut taxes for everybody. And that our tax code now makes sense for businesses and they can compete and they're hiring and they're also repatriating billions, hundreds of billions of dollars back into the United States. It's not that. It's other things. It's other stuff. It's not that president guy. He couldn't have anything to do with it. So you're getting this constant, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, good. We got a negative economic report here. Housing prices decline. Thanks, God. Let's jump on that. And then we're looking at an inverted yield curve. You don't even know what that is, do you? But if we talk breathlessly about it, it's frightening. It's just frightening. I'm just frightened.
eaten by the inverted yield curve. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like a devil to me. And this is the kind of reporting that goes on as actual news and information, and it dials us out. It keeps us worrying about things. Well, the banks passed their tests. Instead of saying the vast majority did, it's like two banks are punished because they are not able to do their capital plans. You know what the market thought of that? Those stocks went up. That's what they thought. They thought it was good news. Not what's reported. Be careful what we read. We want to look in the mirror. We want to learn. And most of all, stay in the game. Here's the bottom line for today, right? The world is growing. Corporations are growing. Therefore, stay in. Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy 4th.